You're listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
And all, did you have something you wanted to say?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Aunt Cal and Dion, I mean, not Dion, Denise, hi.
I'll see you later, honey. I'll tuck you in.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I've got some things here that are serious and need to be addressed by you. Attention, all of you people who live in the state of Maryland. Everyone who lives in the state of Maryland, Senate bill, this is state Senate bill, state of Maryland, state Senate bill 215, the Maryland Gun Violence Act of 1996 is out of committee and apparently steamrolling. If you live in Maryland, call the phone number that I'm going to give you for information on how you can help stop it now. You can either stop it now, folks, or you can suffer the aggravation and the work of trying to collect thousands of signatures on referendum petitions in a couple of weeks or throughout the next year, whichever you prefer, if you care. Gun Owners of America is opening their Springfield, Virginia office to help with a phone bank. Anyone who can get there should call Gun Owners of America, ask for Dennis for directions, and they'll tell you what to do. The number is 703-321-8585. That's 703-321-8585. Do you want to be licensed by the Department of Motor Vehicles to buy a gun? Chihuahua, would you like to have any guns in your home confiscated when police visit for other reasons? For that's what this bill tells them to do. How many hoops do you want to jump through, folks, to exercise your right to defend yourself and your family and to form and make effective a militia? Should a militia be called for or be called upon? Time is very short. Call these numbers, ladies and gentlemen, and make sure that you get this defeated. 703-321-8585. You can call your state senators at 800-492-7122 or 410-841-3000. That's 800-492-7122 or 410-841-3000. Support the Ferguson filibuster. Do not vote for a cloture allowing SB 215 to be voted on. Vote against SB 215 if it makes it to the floor for a vote, and that's the message that you should be delivering to your state senators. Well, folks, 229 representatives voted for the anti-terrorism bill last Thursday Can you believe that? 229 representatives voted for the anti-terrorism bill last Thursday. Now, I'd read off all their names because I have a list of them furnished to me by Gun Owners of America. And anybody can get it from the record of the House if you want it. But it would take too long. But the House passed H.R. 2703. And here's what they did, ladies and gentlemen. If you thought I was joking, if you didn't do anything about it, if you sat on your butt exercising your glutamus maximus while this took place, thinking that I and others like me would take care of it for you, then you screwed up royally. You did it again to yourself. Sheeple. The House passed H.R. 2703, has enhanced penalties for gun owners. The DeLauro Amendment, added by voice vote on the floor of the House, demonizes laser sighting equipment by enhancing penalties for any federal crime committed while the person is in possession of a laser sight. Thus, a person committing any nonviolent federal crime, securities fraud, for instance, speeding in what they call a national park or in a federal reservation or a BLM land or in Washington, D.C., just speeding, that's a federal crime if it's done on federal property and you're stopped by federal police. Don't you know that? A person committing any nonviolent federal crime, even a misdemeanor, the smallest little thing, spitting on the sidewalk, would get additional prison time or would get prison time when none would have been awarded simply because he possessed a laser sight on his pistol or rifle. This would occur under a legal system which does not accord similar legislatively required enhanced status to a defendant who murdered his wife with an axe or tied her to a tree and chopped her into little pieces while she was still alive with a chainsaw. The Schumer Amendment. Wouldn't you know Schumer would have an amendment? He's the most evil-looking, scum-sucking, socialist, puke-bag, scum pig I've ever seen in my life. Just looking at him on C-SPAN makes me want to go into the bathroom and throw up repeatedly for hours. He's vile. He's a liar. He's a deceiver, a manipulator. The Schumer Amendment to centralize law enforcement. Charles Schumer amended the House bill on a voice vote to coordinate and centralize federal, state, and local law enforcement efforts under the ruse of responding to terrorist incidents. At a time when the FBI and BATF have come under increased scrutiny for abuse of their authority, the amendment would mandate the creation of a new center, the Domestic Counterterrorism Center, which could be very rightfully compared to the Nazi Gestapo. Even though there has been no more than 12 terrorist incidents in this country for any one year since 1986, according to the FBI. And Schumer claims that he's doing all this to prevent what happened in Nazi Germany. Schumer, you're stupid, you airheaded jerk. You didn't learn anything from Nazi Germany. You are the Nazi. You are the racist. You are the liar. You are the terrorist. Wasn't it you that on the floor of the House the other day threatened us that if this bill was not passed, if it was emasculated, that you knew things that we did not know and that we would be sorry? Well, Schumer, you're wrong again. I know what you know, and I know exactly what you're going to do. You're going to blow up some more buildings and kill some more innocent people and shoot some more children on schoolyards to try to get your terrorist legislation passed because you Charles Schumer, are the terrorist. You are the enemy of the Republic. And you better understand, we know it. Schumer's also introduced a bill, ladies and gentlemen, that would make it illegal to criticize the government or anyone in the government or in the Congress, or to publicly discuss conspiracy theories. You see, we got Schumer scared. He's so scared, he has peed in his pants. He's introducing legislation that points him out, just like someone lit up his nose like a neon light, that he is an insane idiot. He is an enemy of freedom-loving peoples everywhere. This anti-terrorism bill that they passed, H.R. 2703, also has a BATF enhancement provision. The bill contains, ladies and gentlemen, a provision which could federalize many state crimes where the federal government has no jurisdiction whatsoever, and as a result, enlarge the BATF scope and jurisdiction under Section 104. They're already over their scope and jurisdiction, way out of their jurisdiction. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, the federal government has no jurisdiction in any state except in crimes involving and directly related to interstate commerce. Read your Constitution. It also has an anti-hunter rifle and ammunition study. Under this provision, which was expanded by Representative Bob Barr in the Rules Committee, the BATF will be given carte blanche to study all types of ammunition and recommend which kinds need to be included under the armor-piercing ban. Unlike the study as originally proposed, the ammunition studied is not limited to handgun ammo. It is already well known that much hunting and rifle ammunition can penetrate body armor, and if a militia is going to be effective, that kind of ammunition must be in the hands of the people. Furthermore, the BATF is required to specifically look at policemen killed with handguns, rifles, and shotguns, and thus opens the door to calling for the regulation of all gun sales under Section 112. Don't you think it's strange that they're not having a study of automobiles? More people are killed every year by automobiles than they are in 20 years by guns. There's a gun owner's incarceration provision. Pro-gun Representative Helen Chenoweth, Republican of Idaho, introduced an amendment to delete this provision, Title 9 from the bill. This provision will severely damage the ability of the courts to rescue honest gun owners who are unjustly incarcerated, and thus will seriously affect cases in which the gun owners of America are currently involved. The provision does not just deal with death penalty cases, as some have insinuated. It deals with everything. The Senate also passed provisions of S-735. That was the Senate anti-terrorism bill, in which it says the BATF gets a pay increase of $100 million, Section 526, and expansion of the RICO statute, Section 624. You hear that? These incompetent murderers are rewarded for what they have done with a pay increase of $100 million. There's also a Randy Weaver entrapment provision. The Senate bill contains a provision which ensures that the BATF will have greater ability to entrap people like Randy Weaver who are accused of nonviolent offenses, such as merely possessing a shotgun with a barrel 1/4 of an inch too short, which was sold to him, by the way, by a BATF informant, simply to entrap Randy Weaver. This gives them more power to do these things. The bill extends the statute of limitations for violations under the 1934 Act from 3 years under current law to 5 years, thus giving the BATF more time to persecute unsuspecting, nonviolent, what they call offenders under Section 108. At least I believe it's section 108. Yes, it is. Roving wiretaps. Government officials would be authorized to wiretap your home if a person under investigation visits your home, even if you had no knowledge the person was a suspect under section 909. So someone that they're investigating could come and visit your home for 5 minutes, and they can wiretap your home for a year or more, as long as they want, as a matter of fact. It weakens the posse comitatus law to give the military authority to act as local police in section 908. It also gives the FBI authority for fishing expeditions. Gives them the power to secure your financial and travel records in certain circumstances without any evidence that anyone has committed any crime under section 502. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, what you're hearing tonight? All the books that you've read, all the movies that you've seen, all the speeches that you've heard, and the studies that you've made of all of the repressive governments that have ever existed in the world, well, now you live in one that is getting more and more oppressive every day, and their goal is to eliminate the middle class and effect a total enslavement of the population of the United States of America and of the world.
When you catch me riding upon the skyline, you miss what's proud nation. This is the end of the growing the hearts of population.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Hour of the Time, what the President has called in a White House memo, read on the air by Rush Limbaugh, the most dangerous radio broadcast in America.
Satellites seem to believe in what is good and what is right. Maybe worship in the temples of man, or lost in the prisons of religion. But then you still walk back to happiness when you know where left to run. The beaten generation, the beaten generation, we're gonna die.
What is it that makes this broadcast dangerous, ladies and gentlemen? Because it's the only source in the entire world left where you can hear the truth, where if we make a mistake, we will correct it, where we cite sources and document everything, where the listeners validate the information, not the host. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to read to you is an article. I'm not going to tell you who wrote this article until I'm finished with it, because I want to surprise you. It's written by someone who has done some incredibly good work in the past, and on occasion has done some pretty sloppy work. I'll let you make your own decision on what you hear tonight. I can tell you from our research, it is exactly right on the money, right in line with what we have discovered. It's called The Oklahoma Bombing and the Story of a Magazine. Once in a great while, there's a story that is hard to tell, and the writer and his friends and associates risk a great deal just to try to bring it out, to bring to you the details. This may well be just such a time. It was before 10 a.m. Eastern Time in the offices of Media Bypass Magazine in Evansville, Indiana. At the time, they were a recently started publication with a circulation of about 5,000. At the same time, it was before 9 a.m. in Oklahoma City. The magazine, operated by Treetop Communications Incorporated, the parent firm, had as its largest stockholder an old-timer named Jim Thomas. They were dedicated to publishing stories the mass media was afraid to touch. The day was April 19th, 1995, a day that will live in infamy. To borrow the words of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt in describing the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, the explosion of the Mura Federal Building in Oklahoma City is an equivalent deed. At the time, in the magazine's offices was Lawrence W. Myers. Did anyone at the magazine that day note a key point? Others now claim Myers was there before 10 a.m. their time, 9 a.m. Oklahoma time, which was Central Time. You see, he wanted to be hired as a writer to write about serial bombers, presumably the Unabomber. To demonstrate his credentials, he brought along four books authored by him, published by Paladin Press of Phoenix, Arizona. Did anyone take note they publish items primarily catering to soldiers of fortune, that is, mercenaries? Myers also said he wrote magazine articles. His books apparently show how to build bombs. His books show how to build bombs from ordinary materials and explicit instructions how to build remote detonators for explosives. No one had ever seen him before. Nobody knew who he was. And he showed up on April the 19th, 1995, in the Media Bypass office just shortly before the Mura Federal Building blew up in Oklahoma City. While in their offices, news came out that at a few minutes after 9 a.m. Central Time, 10 a.m. Evansville time, there had been a terrible bombing of a federal office building in Oklahoma City. Magazine officials immediately contracted with Myers on a week-to-week basis and dispatched him to Oklahoma City to report and write on the tragedy. How fortunate that he showed up with his expertise in explosives just as an explosion occurred. Myers is a take-charge type, a slick, smooth, greasy operator. He soon became the magazine's chief investigative reporter as his personality bowled everyone out of his way. Myers also became, in effect, the gatekeeper. He decided what stories, if any, were worthy to be published by the magazine. Not the editor, but Lawrence Myers. Most of the others at the magazine were very young and inexperienced. Old-timer Jim Thomas was likewise apparently inexperienced in running a publication. It wasn't long until Myers was running the publication. One of the investors in the parent firm tried to tell Thomas and others to no avail that some suspect Myers is actually a counterintelligence agent infiltrating and penetrating the magazine operation to carry out some United States government agenda. Some penetration agents are under orders to infiltrate and destroy the targeted group, entity, or enterprise under an operation known as Project Trojan Horse. Myers had apparently been with special forces in Central America, particularly Honduras and most likely Nicaragua, and if so, was certainly under the command of Lieutenant Colonel James Bobo Gritz, also known as James Bogreitz, to those who don't understand who he really is. Did Myers specialize in neutralizing so-called insurgents? Some claim big landowners in Central America used death squads to silence dissidents. Did Myers at one time aid such bloody events? From various bits and pieces of data and circumstances, some astute observers answer yes. In the back of his vehicle, some at Media Bypass observed Myers carries with him the full equipment that he would need to survive all alone in a jungle for weeks or months, all the time in the back of his vehicle. Few at the magazine, if anyone there, were experienced on espionage and putting things together to identify a penetration agent, or what is sometimes known as a change agent. No one there was listening to items tending to cast suspicion on Myers. For example, also in Phoenix, has been John Alexander, called Colonel by some and Doctor. He founded the super secret Delta Force, used to carry out clandestine missions. They are no strangers to assassinations, including death squads, airplane sabotage, strange bombings, and much, much more. Wherever there were meetings of the controversial militias, Myers would suddenly, without invitation, and surprisingly, show up. It was for the purposes of a story, or really to pick the brains for some intelligence agency. Was Myers using his apparent infiltration and penetration of the magazine to penetrate dissident groups following the Oklahoma bombing? And what better place to get a mailing list of people in this country who are dissatisfied, who belong to militias, who are upset, yes, even angry, with what is happening in this country today? Without any apparent disclaimers, the magazine ran provocative advertisements, quote, no need to pay income taxes, end quote, in big bold type. The ads went on to state, immediately stop paying income taxes, a tax no one residing in the U.S. is required by law to pay, though people residing outside the U.S. might be subject to the tax. Media Bypass Magazine, February 1996, page 19. A shooting gallery is a government counterintelligence operation set to identify, photograph, or video and neutralize enemies of the state, such as tax protesters, militias, Western state anti-federal government activists, back to the land people, survivalists. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, you. Some fear that at the hands of Myers and others, Media Bypass has become part of a shooting gallery operation. You see, such a setup saves money. Instead of government intelligence agents beating the bushes looking for dissidents, the dissidents identify themselves by responding to such noisy ads in so-called anti-government magazines or centers for action. Don't go away. I'll be right back with much, much more. And who do they want to blame it on? Islam.
and the only devil in your world lives in the shimmer.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialized in non-reportable, non-confiscatable hard assets, what until this generation has always been known as real money. Did you know that the Constitution makes the hard statement that no state shall tender in payment of debts anything other than gold or silver coin? Did you know that the Constitution does not give Congress the authority to print money, but to coin money and to establish a system of weights and measurements so that we will know exactly what it is, what the values of measurements and purities are? Did you know that under the law, we have never been on a gold standard in the history of this great nation? Never, ever, not once. The money has always been, under the law, a specific weight in measurement and purity of silver coin known as a dollar. And a dollar, no matter how many worthless pieces of paper they print it on, can no more be that specific weight and measurement of purity of silver coin than a quart can be milk. They have fooled you with the name of the measurement. And the law has not changed ever. They have debased our coinage and printed counterfeit money and foisted upon the people right under our noses, and we were so stupid we did not even know what was happening. So according to the Constitution and according to the law, silver coin, known as $1, is still the money of account of the nation. It also states that an equivalent value of gold coin may be used. You see, if we had ever been on a gold standard, ladies and gentlemen, the value of the dollar would have fluctuated with the value of the gold on the world market, and it has never done so. If you'd like to get your hands on some real money, because a great reckoning is coming soon, ladies and gentlemen, will not be brought about by us, by any patriots, or by the militia. You see, we are sworn to protect and defend the Constitution for our states and for the Constitution for the United States of America, to enforce the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, and repel invasion. It will be brought about by the enemies of the Republic who would destroy it. And that is why the militias and patriots are under attack. We are the only defenders of liberty, of freedom in this country. And when this occurs, ladies and gentlemen, if you do not have some real money, the money that everyone in the world recognizes as money, are equivalent commodities recognized and that will be needed and will be considered to be very valuable in such a time,
You're going to be in a ditch with nothing, and no one will come to your aid because they won't have anything to give you. Let that sink in, and then call 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Tell them that William Cooper sent you. Tell them that you're a steady listener to the Hour of the Time. Ask for the free newsletter. Find out how you can get your hands on some real money. And don't beat around the bush. Don't pretend you have a lot of money if you don't. Tell them what you can afford, and they'll work with you to help you. 1-800-289-2646, and do it now. You know how we all tend to procrastinate, and I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time.
There used to be a graying power alone on the sea. You became the light on the dark side of me. Love remained a drum left high enough to feel. But did you know that when it snows, my eyes will come alive and the light that you shine can't be seen. Won't you tell me that you're there? Did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a light and the light that you shine can't be seen?
Ladies and gentlemen, notice the timeline related to the bombing. Monday, April 17, 1995, a special federal grand jury under the wing of independent counsel Kenneth Starr reportedly hands up a sealed indictment charging Hillary Rodham Clinton with a bank fraud, that is, participating with husband William Jefferson Clinton in misappropriating or embezzling some $47 million from a federally insured savings and loan, and B, offenses bordering on treason, namely being the beneficiary of secret offshore accounts purportedly payable to Vincent W. Foster, Jr., at one time her law partner, as purported payment for arranging for Jonathan Pollard to convey nuclear missile launch and tracking codes to Israeli intelligence. Foster was the middleman on behalf of George Bush while he was vice president and Reagan administration Secretary of Defense Caspar Weinberger to use a low-level naval intelligence analyst, Pollard, to convey these topmost secrets to a foreign power. Not many people outside of naval intelligence, and this is an aside from me, ladies and gentlemen, know that George Bush was an operative of the Office of Naval Intelligence. After all, the Reagan-Bush team owed Israel a favor for Israel transshipping United States weapons to Iran, a payoff for Iran delaying the release of the United States embassy hostages to screw Jimmy Carter's bid for re-election as president, 1980. Called the October Surprise, treason by some, The hostages were released a few moments after Reagan was inaugurated the new president in 1981. Coincidence? Well, you've been listening for this broadcast for very long, and you still believe in coincidence. Turn off your radio, go to bed, and don't ever turn it back to this station again at this time slot, because you haven't learned anything. A federal judge, crony of the Clintons, has kept the sealed indictment sealed to this day. The evening of Monday, April 17, 1995, a plane load of top military brass crashes near Alexander City, Alabama. The plane was apparently sabotaged. Two explosions in the air were heard by a witness, one explosion on the ground. One top brass was in the supervisory capacity to the highly secret National Security Agency, as well as the Army Security Agency. Like the book 7 Days in May, the passengers were reportedly part of a military coup to arrest, under the military code, their commander-in-chief, William Jefferson Clinton, for treason, including but not limited to the cover-up of the murder of his boyhood friend Foster, who was implicated with Clinton's wife in the Jonathan Pollard affair. Foster headed a secret bank spying project for the National Security Agency. Foster had the equivalent rank of a general in the National Security Agency, an agency which was outed just recently on this broadcast by delivering to the world more information than anyone has ever even dreamed that anyone knew about the National Security Agency. Was the plane crash near the secret Delta Force base in Alabama? Why do some continue to suspect that Myers is reportedly part of a team working with the Delta Force to stop the few brave military brass dedicated to arresting Clinton for high crimes and high treason? And to pinpoint those of us in this country who would fight to protect and defend the Constitution for the United States of America. The bombing on Wednesday, April 19, 1995. The bombing occurred before the expiration of the 48 hours by which sealed indictments are in more ordinary circumstances delayed, to give the federal authorities time to apprehend the named defendants in the indictment. Mainstream journalists have confirmed from their own sources this writer's exclusive stories about the sealed indictment, but those other writers, being cowardly and their editors being newspapers, are all silent publicly. The bombing changed public psychology, favoring the Clintons. When the indictment was brought down, ladies and gentlemen, you heard me say that it had been done on this broadcast and that it was being held secret. Saturday, April 22, 1995, for the first time in history, the independent counsel Kenneth Starr takes the depositions inside the White House of President Clinton and of his wife, the First Lady. Was this, coming on this week of April 17th, just a coincidence? Note, a senior editor of Forbes, later fired, contends he asked the White House to respond to his inquiry about Hillary being the beneficiary for the secret overseas accounts of Foster. He wanted a response by the day that turned out to be the day before the bombing. Some contend there was high-level complicity in and out of the U.S. government in the Oklahoma bombings. Experts claim it should be plural, that pressure detonators set off explosive charges on the building pillars, the pressure being supplied by the pressure from explosives in the purported truck bomb. Were the bombings out to divert attention from the treason charges of Monday, April 17, 1995? Of course, that implies a great deal of premeditation in the events of the whole week. Shortly after the bombings, in a rare performance, President Clinton went on the 60-minute CBS program, appearing highly rattled. Clinton said there is an element in the country, the militias, trying to overthrow the federal government. It was a lie, but nevertheless, he said it. He set the agenda. Left unsaid, that it is justified for him as president and commander-in-chief to murder any group of military officers trying to stage a coup, such as those killed near Alexander City, Alabama, April 17, 1995. Clinton reserved the right, left unsaid, to invoke the emergency fiats put into supposed law by him in June 1994, giving him authority above the U.S. Constitution. one of the provisions, that no court shall have authority to consider a challenge to such emergency authority. And don't forget the helicopter, the Marine helicopter, that was apparently burned out of the sky by microwave beams. What Clinton did was use the bombings to engage in repression against dissidents and other outspoken types, as well as the American people in general. A special federal grand jury in Alabama has been blocked from investigating the sabotaged air crash near Alexander City, the apparent related Delta Force secret base of operations, and the murders by air sabotage to abort the coup attempt. While all these events have been happening, certain persons purporting to be the intermediaries for independent counsel Starr have been traveling throughout the country, supposedly interviewing witnesses on related matters. What they have been actually doing, apparently, is the following. Gathering data to be used for their own personal advantage, financially and otherwise, as a power base. Through blackmail and extortion in Arkansas and elsewhere, in and out of public office. Identifying and listing what witnesses, sources of evidence and testimony have to be snuffed out, or what witnesses whose testimony is for sale can be paid to shut up or alter their testimony with perjury. For example, in the Chicago area was a longtime member of the London Gold Pool, previously active with the National Security Agency official Vincent W. Foster Jr. in clandestine gold transactions for espionage work. The Gold Pool member was part of a circle active with Propaganda Due, known as P2, which you've heard about on this broadcast many times. Judges, secret police, legislatures, cabinet members, and journalists, Italy, France, England, and the United States, devoted to overthrowing representative government through the politics of tension, bombings, assassination, and terror. In short, ladies and gentlemen, violence and major destructions blamed falsely onto dissidents who are actually not dissidents at all, but are freedom-loving patriots sworn to protect and defend the Constitution for the United States of America. All of this is actually being done by a secret organization, a brotherhood known as the Order of the Illuminati. The Gold Pool members' team not only included Foster, but reportedly the Archbishop of Milan, Italy. The Gold Pool member, John Tarullo, was murdered in August 1995. He had failed in his assignment, which was to completely control those involved in the $50 million secret transfer of federal funds from Chicago to Little Rock. The funds, held in custody for the Federal Savings and Loan Bailout Agency, Resolution Trust Corporation, were misappropriated to make good the purported embezzlement of $47 million from a federally insured savings and loan called Madison Guarantee Savings and Loan, done reportedly by Hillary Rodham Clinton with the aid of her husband. That is the subject of one part of the sealed indictment of April 17, 1995. The $3 million difference between $47 and $50 million was for street tax, bribery of public officials to smooth the way. Tarullo had failed to protect Household International and Household Bank, which had custody of the funds, part of a profound series of scandals known as the Joseph Andrussetti, affair. When I repeat something, you'd better pay attention to it. Look it up. Household was the successor to the CIA money laundry, the Nugan Hand Bank of Australia, which I documented in my book, Behold a Pale Horse. Apparently implicated in the events of the $50 million transfer, reportedly, was Lawrence W. Myers. He was reportedly part of a project of a clandestine nature with the Little Rock office of RTC. Did operatives of Delta Force, with the aid of Myers, snuff out Tarullo? It is a fair presumption, ladies and gentlemen. Myers has sought to block publication of stories related to Foster, Pollard, Weinberger, Bush, Hillary, Household International, and CIA, as well as the Gold Pool member and the Andrussetti affair. whenever I have questioned on this broadcast the activities of Lawrence Myers, he has been quick to contact WWCR and threaten to sue them if they did not shut me up. Ladies and gentlemen, I will not be shut up by anyone, ever. I am not afraid, and neither is the author of this paper. The counterintelligence operation, of which Myers is reportedly an integral part, interfaces with highly secret units of the military intelligence group, which is the overseer of Project Trojan Horse. They were known for violence and dirty tricks going back to 1970 and before, as documented in Sherman H. Skolnick versus the 113th Military Intelligence Group, also known as a cover as Midwest Audiovisual News, U.S. District Court, Chicago, 1970, the case is on record. A London newspaper uncovered congressional documents tending to show the Military Intelligence Group were involved in stripping Foster's office or nearby offices after his murder, as well as part of a vast cover-up of his manner of death. Riddle of Spooks in the White House by Ambrose Evans Pritchard, London Daily Telegraph, January the 27th, 96. You can get the electronic version off the internet, which was posted on January the 29th, 96. The apparent penetration and infiltration of Media Bypass magazine seems to be just one of several happenings of a secret team of which Lawrence W. Myers appears to be a part. Their efforts started prior to the Oklahoma bombings. This by itself tends to prove or support charges that there is a high-level United States government complicity in the bloodshed of the federal office building calculated to be blamed upon American patriots and militia members who are called dissidents. In my book, I told you that this would happen. I told you that patriots and militia members would be termed terrorists and that patriotism would be considered a mental psychosis in the New World Order. Some months ago, upon the suspicions and complaints of some connected to Media Bypass magazine, Myers was fired, but then rehired reportedly on the same day upon his representations that he could boost circulation with an exclusive interview with the accused so-called lone bomber, Timothy McVeigh, published in the February 1996 issue of the magazine. Left unpublished and unmentioned is the reported method Myers used to get into the prison with the blessings of the warden and the United States prison system. Myers reportedly used his espionage agency muscle to have the prison doors swing open so he could enter and get an exclusive interview with McVeigh. It is also reported that he made an exclusive deal with McVeigh's attorney in exchange for a tape that Lawrence W. Myers had in his possession. McVeigh's attorney agreed to allow Myers to interview McVeigh. What was on the tape? Well, I know, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm not going to tell you tonight. The exclusive interview enabled Myers to keep his job and continue his reported penetration and infiltration of Media Bypass magazine for the apparent purpose of eventually destroying them and damaging and discrediting various categories of dissidents nationwide. As of the time of this article, March the 3rd, 1996, various persons are planning to attend an urgent meeting for the purpose of seeking to remove Myers from the magazine. For example, the top official of Jeremiah Films, 1-800-828-2290, reportedly has accused Lawrence W. Myers of being a counterintelligence operative. This official has to be considered since his firm regularly runs a full-color advertisement on the back cover of the magazine, bringing in approximately $3,000 per month. With current estimated circulation of 45,000, the magazine might be justified in charging a lot more soon for the same type of back cover ad. Why it may be difficult to remove Myers and or expose him? Well, he is reportedly part of the most secret, super powerful secret espionage operation in the United States, Project Trojan Horse. operating under the auspices of the Special Operations Division of the Department of Defense, known as the Military Intelligence Group. They have apparently penetrated and infiltrated various dissident groups, militias, patriot organizations, entities, publications, and movements. The espionage community has invested tremendous dollars and manpower in this undertaking to reportedly expose the Delta Force, Military Intelligence Group, and Lawrence W. Myers would unravel the cover-up done supposedly for reasons of national security, of the clandestine gold transactions, billions of dollars involving the London gold pool, various money center banks in the United States, Europe, and Japan, and the Caymans, and Hong Kong, and would reportedly expose the interface between Delta Force, Military Intelligence Group, and Myers, and the extremely secret units of the Defense Industrial Security Command, guarding plutonium and other nuclear facilities nationwide. They have the apparent authority to murder troublemakers, and if necessary, throw their dead body near one of the security fences and claim they had to shoot said person who was trying to climb over the fence. Units of DISC, together with security units of NASA, combined with Delta Force and the Military Intelligence Group, are reportedly implicated in the murder of Foster, the handling of his body by a mortuary linked to the Central Intelligence Agency, and the creation of entities and news items as disinformation to cover up the murder, and could topple the central government in a high-level scandal involving the murder of the highest-level United States government official to be assassinated since President Kennedy, namely Foster, and cover up of the same, and would reportedly disrupt banking connections worldwide since Foster headed the secret bank spying project using a trap door and the stolen INSLAW software called PROMIS to spy on banks, including the central banks of supposed allies and friendly trading partners of the United States, and could reportedly expose the $200 million swindle in high-level Reagan and Bush administration officials stealing PROMIS and selling it to various espionage agencies using the trapdoor to spy on our allies and other government agencies. And George Bush and Caspar Weinberger would have to be prosecuted for treason in the Jonathan Pollard affair as well as the October surprise, and reportedly would cause the collapse of Household International and Household Bank, one of the largest credit card and loan operations in the world. The major owner of Household is Wells Fargo, of which Warren Buffett is a major stockholder. Buffett is one of the largest stockholders in Disney, now owners of ABC News, Coca-Cola, and Geico. Buffett is also one of the largest stockholders of Washington Post Company, as well as the bond house Solomon Brothers, and would tend to prove high-level complicity in the Oklahoma bombing within the government of the United States, and would publicly expose the efforts to arrest Commander-in-Chief Clinton by a military coup like 7 days in May, a coup aborted by murdering high-level military officers in Alabama, April 17, 1995, and elsewhere. More than one book would have to be written to set this all forth with all the details. Are Myers' reported team members known? You can bet your boots, ladies and gentlemen, the intelligence service of the Second Continental Army of the Republic knows most of the operatives of Project Trojan Horse, and we have revealed some of them to you on the air. This article was written, ladies and gentlemen, by Sherman Skolnick. Good night, and God bless you all.
There's no reason for you to lose your mind, 'cause I've seen something that's gonna change our time. If I bye.